I got questions.
From the things they didn't tell us, to the stuff we still don't know, all the lies they concocted, I'm discovering answers and I'm letting you know.
I got questions. I won't be held down.
I got questions.
And yes, the answers will be found.
Oh yeah, I'm asking because I want to expand my mind. You can call me nosy, but I bet these answers I'ma find. My inquiry leads to what discovery? So come on and get some answers with me.
I got questions.
Hey, this is Charlene Akua Rose Feather saying what's up to my melanated family and our allies. And welcome to I've Got Questions, the podcast where we have real conversations about house business, old wives' tales, flat out lies, and misconceptions. I'm a coach, a speaker, and a motivational teacher, and I'm sharing these conversations to empower you so you can move intentionally in your purpose. Sometimes I'll invite company over, and other times you get to hear from me. But either way, we're gonna get these questions answered, y'all. And the question for today is, should I leave my church? This is a subject that is really not talked about. This is a subject that people, this is a conversation that just does not exist on so many levels. So nobody should be surprised that the question is asked. It's not a topic that's talked about. You will go to church and hear conversations, lessons, sermons, whatever, about so many things. And this question, leaving the church, is one I have never heard. Not in the way that I'm about to talk about it with you today. When I've heard conversations about leaving the church, it's always derogatory. It's always in the sense that places guilt or blame or presents shame to the person who wants to leave. It's always framed in a way that makes it an awful decision to make. So if anyone does leave or is thinking about leaving, they get to leave with a going away package of guilt, shame, blame, condemnation. And so to avoid that, oh my gosh, and isolation, I forgot about isolation. So to avoid that, many people just don't leave. Because let's be real, and I'm gonna go into this, when you leave a church, I definitely want to say this from the perspective of someone who has left and sharing the stories of other people who've talked with me about their decision to leave. When you leave, a lot of times, you're not just leaving whatever state the church is in, meaning if you're leaving, we'll get into this, but whatever you're leaving from, the reason that you're leaving, you're not just leaving that reason. You're leaving relationships. You're leaving approval, acceptance, validation, affirmation, like in some situations, and I usually save this to the end, but if you've left a church and you didn't have this experience, I would love to hear from you. I would love, now don't make up something just to be heard, just to have your voice heard. Like I literally want to hear from somebody who left and is still in good communication with the people that are at the church. And I'm not talking about folks who left because you were invited to serve in a different way at a different church. I'm not talking about people who left because, you know, you moved from one state to another or from one city to another, or I'm not talking about stuff like that, or you got married. I'm talking about when you leave for none of the quote unquote accepted reasons. Because there are some people that'll leave the church and they'll be celebrated. They'll be celebrated because they're leaving to go to another church, or they're leaving because they got married. Like I said, one of those accepted reasons. And there is no shame, blame, or guilt attached to any of those things. And I want to hear from you if you left under one of those conditions and you did get a going away package of shame, blame, guilt, or whatever. But in my experience and in the experience of the people that I talked to, as I was doing research for the different trainings I've created and the different discussions I've created, when someone leaves the church not for an accepted reason, they get that going away package that is very unpleasant to bear. So when the question comes up, should I leave my church? I want you to know what's involved in it and what you get to be prepared for. And I'm not telling you this to dissuade you from leaving, to get you to change your mind. I'm telling you this so that you'll be prepared, because we don't talk about this. And because we don't talk about it, people walking away not knowing what to expect. So if the question exists for you, if you're asking, should I leave here? The fact that you're thinking about leaving is a real good indication that it might be time. It's a real good indication that something is happening that may require that action of leaving from you. A lot of times we sit around waiting for a sign. Then we get the sign, then we want a confirmation. Then we get a confirmation and we want somebody to agree with it. Then we want to get a witness. Then we want to get an amen. Like we wait so long because we know. There's a knowing on the inside of us that's telling us there's a thing we have to do. But we want all of these different levels of, you know, confirmation and whatnot because we're scared. We're afraid. Because all the time, that voice on the inside of you is telling you, go. But we're afraid. Of what? Of all the stuff that I mentioned in the beginning. We're afraid of what we don't know. Well, what's going to happen if I leave? We think that if we leave this church, God is going to disconnect from us. We think if we end our membership at such and such a church, that that's going to cause a tear, a rift, a space, a separation in our relationship with God. Let me dispel that first and foremost. That is a lie. That is an L-I-E. It's a lie. Your membership at a church is not the same as your relationship with your God. Whatever your faith community is, your being a member of that faith community, y'all, God ain't petty. God is not petty. That's not how God operates. Point blank, period. If you have a relationship with God that is completely separate from the church you attend, period. And there are some people who will drag that along and try to throw that in your going away package and tell you, well, God ain't pleased and you're going to be, it's a lie. It's a lie. I'm pausing to let that marinate. But the fact that you are thinking of leaving that church could be the very voice of God telling you go. Telling you to go. So consider that. You're having that question. You're asking, should I leave? Consider that. The fact that you're asking, there may be a reason. Now, why are you asking? That's another thing to consider. In this podcast, I'm not going to tell you yes, go or not, but I got one exception. Why do you want to leave? If you are in a church where you are being sexually abused, physically abused, mentally abused, emotionally abused, financially abused, yes, you should leave. That's the end of the podcast for you. That's it. Period. There is no justifiable reason to remain in a place where we are being abused. Point blank, period. If somebody putting their hands on you, if somebody is violating you, forcing you to give them money, no matter how they're doing it, coercing you to give them your money. And I'm not talking about passing the offering plate. I'm talking about insisting that you sign over important, you know, financial documents or make them beneficiaries on certain plans and stuff like that. If they're insisting that you have, you know, money's going to them, that's abusive. You should leave. Definitely. Why do you want to leave? So if that's you, seriously, you could totally stop listening to the rest of this podcast, however brief it will be. There's no other thing that I have to say about if you are experiencing abuse, that is not the place for you. You absolutely, absolutely should go. And I'm going to do a podcast episode about what to do when you leave. What do I do if I've been abused and I leave? How do I take care of myself? What's my next step? I'm going to do an episode on that, so look out for that one. For folks who want to leave because there's toxicity, you know, it's not quite abuse, but it's very toxic. You know, there's bullying. You speak up about something and the person then exerts their leadership or their influence over you and they start to bully you or they start to turn other people against you. That's toxic. And some people might say that that's abuse, and I wouldn't argue because there's a thin line. Everybody assigns a different definition to certain things. And so if your definition of something I say is abuse, then refer back to what I said a few moments ago. And yeah, then if it's abuse, then absolutely you should go. But I look at bullying as a part of a toxic relationship, a toxic situation. And maybe there's gaslighting where they manipulate you by trying to make you question your own sanity. You know, asking you questions to make you question the thing you're questioning. You speak up about something and they start, well, do you really think that I would do something like that? Do you really think? I remember sitting across from a pastor and the story is super long. I'm trying to figure out how to synthesize it. But there was a situation where I had requested benevolence from the church. Now, mind you, I was tithing. I have to say that for all of the church people who are listening, and they listening with a scowl on their face. For those of you who are listening, I was what they call a member in good standing. When you're a member in good standing, all that means is that you give in your tithe. Point blank period. I'm a member in good standing. I was tithing regularly. I was also volunteering in several areas of the church. I was volunteering as their administrator. I was volunteering as a teacher, teaching Sunday school and the VBS. And I think Wednesday Bible, no, wasn't Wednesday Bible, just Sunday school and VBS. And I was helping out with the women's ministry. So I was volunteering and I was tithing. I asked for benevolence because of some circumstances and I didn't receive it. I was refused and I was refused money from the church, but the pastor went into his own pocket and gave money to, well, I might as well let the whole cat out the bag, gave money to my spouse who left. That individual left and wanted to set up a house and an apartment on their own. And this pastor gave them money from their own pocket to help them do that. I asked for benevolence for me and my kids, and I was refused. When I asked, what was up with that? Like, why would you refuse me and then fund this person to go set up their own stuff? I was gaslighted. Well, do you think that I would really do? Let me tell you something. I did that because that, you know, your spouse at the time, we were still married, because your spouse told me this, that, or the other, and I knew that your parents wouldn't let you stay homeless or out on your own. Now, mind you, this pastor was gaslighting me because he had no context for the things that he was saying. Now, it turned out to be true. My parents did take us in, but you don't get to take credit for what happened after the fact. You don't get to say, oh, look, it worked out. Why are you tripping? Because before you realized that it was working out or worked out, you refused my request. That's gaslighting. That's toxic. If you're in a situation where you're being gaslighted, you raise an issue about something and then you're questioned because now you're trying to make you think, well, maybe did I really see that? Is that really what it was? If you're questioning yourself, you've been gaslighted. If you're in a space where you're being manipulated or forced to obey an individual, I am the pastor, I am the, you know, such and such, and if you're being forced into obedience, if you're receiving unclear instruction or direction, I remember one pastor would insist on a specific setup for certain types of events, and it would have to be A, B, C. So that particular pastor was also always late to things when we were setting up. So to be proactive, we would go ahead and start setting it up, A, B, C. Well, when they would get into the room, they would be livid. Why is it set up? It's supposed to be E, F, G. You never told anybody it was EFG. You've always said ABC. And even when the recognition of that being true was, even though that particular pastor would realize, well, I told so-and-so, well, so-and-so ain't here. And you told us to be here at 8. We was here at 8 and we started setting up. You got here at 9:30 and now you want us to redo everything. Unclear instruction, unclear, that's toxic. all of those things, bullying, gaslighting, manipulation, forced obedience, unclear direction and instruction, that all impacts your inner wellness. It impacts you on a cellular level. It impacts your soul, your mind. It impacts your those things that you can't see. So you may be willing to stand and say, well, you know, okay, I'll give them a pass. I'll give her a pass. I'll give them a pass. You might be willing to say that, but your emotions and your heart and your soul and your mind isn't as willing and able to quickly let something go in that manner. It is still in there. Imagine if you got punched by somebody. Okay, a few days later, you don't feel the pain of that initial impact, but there's still something happening in the place where they punched you. Your muscles and your whatever is still recovering from the blunt impact of that punch. It's the same thing when you are exposed to toxicity in a specific environment. And you may be willing to say, you know, but just know that the impact isn't over. It's still being felt, but on the inside. And it's creating a weight. It's creating a bunch of scribble scrabble on the inside of you that isn't as easily glossed over, or your insides can't pretend like it didn't happen. So if you're one of those people who's like, well, you know, they're under a lot of pressure. You know, the pastors deal with a whole lot. And I'm going to be talking about that in another episode, too. The pastors deal with a whole lot. So we're going to give them a pass. If you're willing to give that person a pass, meaning you're going to stay there despite the fact that they're exposing you to their toxicity, then I want to say something to you. If you don't want to leave, remember, you're the one, if you're asking the question, then and decide to stay, that means you're going back on what that inner voice is telling you. So if you decide to stay, then speak up, have a conversation, respectfully because they're a human being, not respectfully because they're a pastor. Our opportunity is to respect people because they're people, not just because of the title that they wear. Our responsibility is to respect people because they are people, not because of the position they hold. So person to person, have a conversation with them and share with them about the way they impact you, about the way they impact the environment. Share with them what's going on the way you experience them. Don't just decide to ignore your inner voice and stay there and then continue to be exposed to the toxicity, because other people are going to suffer. You're going to continue to suffer, and they will continue suffering. Because be clear, if they were healthy, they wouldn't be toxic. If they were healthy, they wouldn't be abusive. They wouldn't be impacting people in that way. So our opportunity, if you decide to stay, is to speak up. If they receive you, oh, that's great. That's great. But if they don't, you know what you're dealing with, and you may want to revisit what that inner voice was saying about leaving. Think about it this way. Imagine that you're in a room, closed room, no windows. There's only a door, but it's closed. And that person is smoking. And let's imagine that you don't smoke. Or let's say they've got on this like really loud perfume. It's just like one of those kind of perfumes that just make your skin crawl, your eyes water, and your nose drip. Like one of those perfumes that's just very uncomfortable to be in the room around. If you're in that room and that person is wearing this loud perfume, or they're smoking and the room is filled with the fragrance of whatever they're doing, the smoking of the perfume, would you stay in that room being impacted, your eyes watering, your skin is crawling, your nose is dripping, and you feel uncomfortable? Would you stay in that room? Everything within you is going to be asking you to leave that room. Would you stay? If you decided to stay and you went and talked to that person and said, hey, you know what, that perfume, would you mind taking that outside? Could you air out, and then when you come back, could you not have that perfume on? Or could you smoke outside and then come back in so that the room isn't filled with the toxicity of the smoke that you're smoking? Could you do that? If that individual told you that they weren't going to do that so that you could be healthy in the space that you share with them, would you stay? Probably not. Because if you like me, you like breathing. I like breathing. You like breathing? So if you was in a room with that, because of your inability to breathe comfortably, you would probably step away. Well, in the same way, you're doing damage to your soul, your mind, your body, your emotions, all of that stuff going on the inside. When you're allowing yourself to be subjected to the toxicity of another individual, and if you choose to stay and then speak with them about it and they refuse to do anything different, remaining in that space causes you to be subjected to more toxicity. And although you are able to breathe just fine, all of that damage is being done to the inside of you. Would you stay? I am again going to do another podcast about what to do when you leave, and I may expand the topic of conversation about how to confront toxicity in the church. But I want to hear from you. I want to let this particular topic marinate for a minute, and I want to hear from you. And I want to ask you to just share what you share. Share what you share. My hope is that you will listen to what I'm saying and not what you think I said. My hope is that you will hear what I'm actually saying and take that into consideration as you craft your response. But if you don't have the capacity to do that and you just want to give me what you got, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I had questions. I know you got them too, and I want to hear from you. I do appreciate the time that you took to share this space with me. And I will talk with you later. Peace. Thank you for hanging with me on I Got Questions. Today's discussion is just the beginning. The next part is up to you. Take this conversation into your community with your families, your friends, your church, wherever you go. Discover more answers and ask some questions of your own. And hey, keep me in the conversation. Visit my website at charlenerfeathers.org and click the Contact Me page. If we keep asking and answering questions, we'll keep moving forward. Till next time, peace out, y'all.